George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 8, recorded on October 8, 2023. How about that? October 8th on show number 8. How's it going, Pirate?
Yo, ho, ho. Pirate is here, ready to do another show. Show number 8 in the house.
And we are all over the road, and today's subject's definitely, because we were doing some show prep before we kick things off here, and we will definitely be all over the road today. So, let's go ahead and kick off with our first subject, Pirate. I'm gonna pass it on to you to see if your notes are ready to go, because I know I'm ready to go. We're always ready to go. What you got?
Well, did you know that we commissioned a ship here in the Port of Tampa this week here on Saturday?
I glanced across the article, but I didn't think much into it because we're not really a Navy town. We're really an Air Force town. But what's going on with this ship?
Well, contrary, we used to actually be a Navy town at one point. We actually built ships here.
We still build ships here, but I'm talking more military, or am I wrong? Do I get some history wrong here? We built military ships here?
The Steinbrenner Company did build ships here at one time during the 80s.
Really? Okay. That's cool. I love history. So
I had an uncle that worked there.
Okay. So hearing history that I didn't know about also fascinates me too. And I will always stand corrected if I didn't know. I had no clue about Tampa's history when it came to the Navy.
Oh yeah. The ships were lined up in the port right off of Causeway. When you went over that Causeway Bridge, you would see them lined up and you'd see welding sparks and cranes lifting up parts of the ship.
Okay, yeah, because we're still a pretty big they do the repair, like the painting, the dry docks where they just go in the water and pull them out.
They actually work on the welding of ships.
Right, yeah, that's right. There are welders down there.
The Selman Bridge, if you look to the south where the carnival ships come in and all, you can see a big dry dock there. If you come through it late at night, you will see all the sparks and grime.
I have. When you go by the Leroy Selman at night, you can see them. And then a couple times when I was like going back and forth, like especially the one time your wife had a little stay in the hospital over the course of a few days, I remember seeing the progression of a paint job on a ship, and it looked like
painting too.
Yeah, it looked like crap at one time, but then after like the second or third day, I was like, wow, that looks like a brand new ship.
Yeah, they do paint. That company's called Gulf Marine.
Okay.
They actually do
Well, that's neat. Well, tell me about this Navy ship, because I'm interested. What was the name of that ship again?
We had the USS Jack H. Lucas. It was commissioned into service here in the Port of Tampa.
Wow.
It is it's actually called the USS Jack H. Lewis DDG.
Lewis or Lucas?
Lucas, sorry.
Okay.
Called it Lewis for a second here.
Yeah.
It's a DDG 125.
That is a destroyer.
Yes.
See, without even looking, I know some of my ships.
and it was actually officially commissioned. One of the commissioners from the Navy came down. They had a ceremony. And they were talking about it's a very fast, maneuverable, versatile, and lethal ship. It's one of the Navy's newest, most technologically advanced guided missile destroyer.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking it up here. She is the 75th Arleigh Burke-class destroyer. So it's the class of vessels.
Yes.
But, of course, the thing you said with the advanced technologies, this is not the same as the first Arleigh Burke-class that was released however many years ago.
Yeah, and the ship is 511 feet long, that destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty big ship, man.
Yeah, see, she's named after a Marine who eventually became a captain in the Army. So he served two different branches.
Yeah, he earned his Medal of Honor.
Wow, he's a Medal of Honor recipient.
That's why his name is on the ship.
Well, that's the highest prestige you can get. You don't get any higher than the Medal of Honor.
And he is for his heroism at Iwo Jima.
Wow, very, very cool.
Yeah, so he jumped on top of two grenades to save two other fellow Koreans that I guess were fighting with him.
Koreans?
Koreans, is it?
Are you sure? That would be more. Iwo Jima was pretty much just a marine operation. They fought the Japanese on Iwo Jima.
Maybe it's Japanese. Yeah. So he was trying to help and save
different Ching Wong, right?
Yeah, different Ching. So, you know, I wasn't on Iwo Jima. What do you know?
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I know a thing or two about Iwo Jima, seeing that I'm a Marine, and they beat it into our head. But I enjoy learning more about Iwo Jima, because Jack Lucas is one of these guys I've never heard of before. So that's cool, because Gunnery Sergeant Bassilon is another famous Marine from that battle. And unfortunately, he died as well. But prior to that, he was a Medal of Honor winner for his actions in other places. So really, really cool. So what was the story of why did they do the commissioning here? Did you see any info on that?
I think the info was kind of secretive, but I want to say they probably did some of the assembly of that ship here, probably because we do have several companies here like Lockheed Martin and a lot of the defense system companies that are here. Maybe there had a lot to do with that. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no released information, so that's just a guess. But I'm sure they did also, too. They're saying that the ship's next voyage is to onward to San Diego, California, where it will be doing a training cycle before receiving its deployment.
And that'll probably most likely be its home base, because that's where I was stationed. I wasn't at the shipyard, but I have been on ships that left the ports of San Diego, and of course it's a naval shipyard, so you can't just walk around and walk up to the ships and like, hey, can I get a tour? No, it's not like that at all. But no, they're pretty badass destroyers, and we've actually sold some of them to our allies. The Japanese use the Arleigh Burke class destroyer.
Well, it's good. I'm glad to see that the government is building ships again. I mean, it's just used to not see that for years now. So
they still are, but the criticism right now is we're not building them fast enough to keep up with a pending threat with China. Sure. I'm not saying we're going to go to war with China, but it's like anything. Don't let your guard down. And there's a lot of criticism going out there that we've slowed down our shipbuilding too much, you know, because we're focusing on other things.
Well, you always need to build up in anticipation. The worst time to prepare for a war is during the war. You want to prepare before.
Let's not do like World War II, where we were not prepared for World War II, you know. Yes. And don't get me wrong, we still came out on top, obviously, but there are times where we almost lost World War II as well. It's not as glorified or romanticized as we see in the movies here. It could have been a really bad turn if some of these battles didn't go the way that they did. It wasn't just technology that won the war. It was just our tactics and our esprit de corps, our what veterans were left over from World War I that were able to teach that kind of tactics. But at the same time, what worked in World War I maybe not work in World War II. So it's a matter of adjusting things and doing something different, because just because it worked before doesn't mean it's going to work now.
Well, in military equipment over so many years, the it ages, the technology
deteriorates. You're absolutely right.
And I would assume with the technology, the way it's advancing on a daily basis, that we should be trying to spit these bad boys out a lot quicker. And
because of that era in World War II, we were, but everything with microchips and computers and software, that's where it slows down the process. Because you think about these planes and these ships built in the 1940s, it was 100% mechanical.
Yes.
You know?
Nowadays.
Yeah.
It's, and like you said, with the computer chips, where are these chips manufactured?
Who's China.
Yes.
Yeah. And crazy enough, Pirate, is all our modern fighter jets, without computers, they would not even be able to fly, because they're designed to be aeronautically unstable. So with the assistance of computers is what keeps these planes in the sky. And of course, the pilot still controls a plane, but there's these constant micro adjustments going on that the pilot is aware of, but that doesn't put it into the system to constantly adjusting the rudder, the elevators, and everything to keep it flying. And the reason why they built them to be unstable, because it also makes them more maneuverable. So it's craziness that the plane without, if you took an F-16 now and pulled the computer and somehow was able to override the system to fly it, it would take off and it would crash.
Yeah, you're saying that the computer is pretty much flying, just like passenger planes. Pretty much they.
Oh yeah, most airlines, other than takeoff and a landing, most of the time it's automated, man. So yeah, all these people worry about AI and all this stuff. I was like, even though it wasn't called AI, the automation's been around for a long time here. It's just called automation. You know, it doesn't mean it's taking. It's not like the Terminator becomes self-aware and take over. Well, that's cool. Any other news with this?
No, Jack, I thought that was a Jack, great thing.
No, that's a nice.
I'm glad to see that the Navy's building.
Yeah, ships. that's a nice introduction. I like that story.
It's a good story, guys.
Kevin McCarthy is no longer the Speaker of the House. Are you familiar with this story, Pirate, or do you want me to get into it, elaborate on it a little more?
Well, I was shocked that this was happening, but...
Okay, so you do know a couple things. But, you've been paying attention.
But then as it unfolded, I kind of agree with it.
I do too.
Yeah. And I agree with it.
The reason why I'm glad this happened is because he has done nothing to slow down government.
No contribution whatsoever.
Because my biggest problem with Republicans is that they say they're conservative, but they're really not. Don't get me wrong. There are conservatives who are Republican, but most, in my opinion, most of the Republican Party are just another entity of big government. And Matt Gaetz, who pretty much spearheaded the operation, didn't even want him to be speaker to start with. But his big grievances were, and he did an impromptu interview with the press on the footsteps of the Capitol. He was like, look, we've got a border problem going on here. We've got this war in Ukraine we're giving billions of dollars to while we still have problems in this country. He hasn't slowed down spending. He signed another continuing resolution to keep the government open just for 45 more days, and it's all such a mess. And he has not reduced any spending. They passed that Inflation Reduction Act a few months ago. Yet since then, they still added another trillion and a half to the debt. And you and I and most Americans, I don't care what political affiliation you're with, we see these prices, and this is not normal. This isn't what's been promised to us. So I'm glad they kicked him out. But I love how the rhinos say, and because 8 Republicans voted with expelling him. I like how the rhinos say, well, they sided with the Democrats. Well, that's where you got to break it down a little bit. The Democrats got rid of him simply because he has an R behind his name. There's nothing a whole lot more to that, because I haven't seen any much opinion from the Democrats of why they voted to oust McCarthy. So from their end, it was purely political. What the 8 Republicans who kicked him out for is because basically you're not doing what you said you would do as Speaker of the House. And I've known about him before because, like you, I pay attention to politics and what's going on. I've always kind of on the bubble with him. But I'm glad he's gone now. So the reason for getting rid of him between the Democrats and those 8 Republicans are two different things. And I was watching a little Tim Pool this week, and I like Tim Pool because he's an independent like myself. He's a libertarian like myself. He said, you notice how whenever the Democrats get in charge of the government, they tear down and set back up for their agenda. I mean, and that's what they do. And they're pretty good at doing that. Agree with their policies or not, they're pretty good at it. He said, every time a Republican gets in charge, they release the steam pressure release just a little bit, and it looks like things are changing, but not a whole lot really does change. The Democrat agenda is still into place. And I'll give you one more example, and then I want you to chime in on a little bit of this. Remember Obamacare? Okay. It was controversial to pass it. A lot of people said that it's not constitutional, yet the Supreme Court said it is. Well, our government goes in a circle. It doesn't stop just because one of the 3 branches says it's over with. The Republicans had every chance to repeal and replace Obamacare like they said they would. Okay. So the first excuse was back in 2010, well, we need to take back the House. Okay. They did. The Republicans take back the House.
okay, when are you going to get rid of Obamacare? Not even get rid of it, repeal and replace, because they had a better plan.
Oh, yeah.
They did. Even though they never really told us what their better plan was, to me, it was like, just get rid of it entirely because it's unconstitutional. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. You have the power to still change it and get rid of it. You know, that's where the circle goes in. So then they BS us and say, well, we need the Senate back. They get the Senate back. So this was still under Obama. Did they even pass between both chambers? Nope, didn't happen. Then they tell us we need the White House back. And Donald J. Trump became president. Donald J. Trump never got a bill from Congress to repeal and replace Obamacare. So they just bullshitted us for 8 or 9 years. And just like I talked about on last week's show with Mike Pence, he was asked that question. You had complete control of the government under the Republican Party. Why didn't you get rid of Obamacare? And he started talking about gun control.
Yeah, he completely evaded the
system. Oh, yeah. So I am not convinced by any stretch of the means that Republicans are the answer. Not that I'm voting for Democrats either, because in my opinion, they are a bunch of communists, and they pretty much admit who they are. But you know what? At least they're being honest about who they are. I don't know what the Republicans are anymore. And being a former Republican, I'm equally pissed off at them for damaging this country. And like Tim Pool said, just doing a little pressure relief valve, not really changing anything.
Yeah, well, it all comes down to the old adage. If you keep trying to do the same thing, expecting the same outcome.
Over and over again.
Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, like we've been doing.
That's called insanity.
It is insanity at its finest here. Mm-hmm. And I am glad that finally somebody, made a stand. And they
stood for principle for a change. And that's what Matt Gaetz stood for. He stood for principle. He called out the speaker for not doing anything that the Republican agenda was supposed to be about, because Republican was supposed to be about smaller government. That's not happening.
And it's great that we can make those changes. And I know that they're trying to change some of the process now. I heard that some of the Republicans were scrambling to change the process to remove the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I heard there was some chatter that they're going to try to vote in some law that you can't remove the speaker that quickly anymore.
I'll get out of here.
But I think that's ridiculous. Keep it that way.
It's a made up position just like anything else.
Yes.
And this hasn't happened in over 100 years when I looked it up. So it's not like this constantly gets abused of, oh yeah, well, we don't like the speaker, we're getting rid of him. No, this doesn't happen that often. You know, I mean, the last president to get threatened for removal from office was Richard Nixon. And that was 50 years ago. But he resigned before that could happen because he knew he was busted.
Yeah.
So but of course, it sounds like these corrupt people want to put processes in place to keep these people in power even longer. Go figure. Because it's, again, like we talk about, they don't read the room. We got people we know that don't know how to read the room.
We do.
And they're trying to make it more difficult just to remove the speaker. What's difficult? It's basically he was voted no confidence amongst the House because that's what the speaker's in charge of. And he was fired over it. Now I heard there's talks about he might even quit Congress entirely. I was like, oh, you're going to be a big baby about it. What happened to your principles? If you believed in what you believed in, why aren't you fighting for it?
That's what I thought. I was like, you know, what do you do? You give up that easy?
You give up that easy. But what about the rumors that Donald Trump might be speaker? Boy, talk about stirring it up. Oh, boy.
That would be something to see him in.
Boy, that would be, man. I think it'd be a clown show, but.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to do it temporary. That's fine.
Well, no, but you'd be a clown show on both sides because the Democrats and the media will be outraged over it. And can you see him standing there at the podium with that gavel?
I just don't know.
I want to see it just to see it.
What are the legalities of him running? Because I think you have to be a congressman.
Actually, you don't. You read the Constitution, and I tell people all the time who want to argue about where our federal government is supposed to be, the Constitution is a very easy read. It's not that difficult. To me, the easy read part of it is this federal government is supposed to be very limited in power and scope. And, of course, we know that's not the reality anymore. They've slowly took over power over the decades, over the centuries now. And even though we're only a couple centuries old, they saw how they could manipulate it to gain power.
and gain a lot of money and turn our capitalist system into crony capitalist system where only the corporations and the rich people get what they want by paying off politicians. So when people talk about we're capitalists, which is, you know, kind of veering another subject, we're not true capitalism because we're crony capitalism because you have corporations that get paid a lot of money through the government or through lobbying to pass their agendas while the little man like you and me, like one of us, like, you know, I tried to contact your congressman and get an audience with him or her. It ain't going to happen.
No, you'll get some secretary or administrative assistant and
or some canned email message that's already prepared.
Voicemail message.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, the other thing about McCarthy is the fact that he met with Biden and several Democrats to discuss business behind closed doors.
Yeah, what kind of business?
What are they talking about? Why can't he share that with Gates and the other guys?
Yeah, yeah.
And also, too, why has Nancy Pelosi got a VIP office?
Little secret room.
Chambers.
Yeah.
Why is she allowed to have that access?
I've never even knew about this room before. Apparently, it was something about when you're the just first removed speaker that you get this special office. Well, now that she is no longer the first removed speaker and it's McCarthy, he gets to take that secondary office to do whatever that they do. I have no idea.
I think that's completely unnecessary. And the fact that there's a lot of things that should be, they should be focusing on that. They are just not focusing on.
They don't want us to focus. They're trying to
constantly make a smoke screen.
Right. By releasing these stories of this, that, and the other thing, even this recent attack in Israel, I think it's just another big distraction to cover up for other things and say, so you're so focused looking over here, you're not looking over here, what's happening over there. So it's a great opportunity to be like, you know, and Israel's pissed, man. They're declaring war and all this. And I'm not taking a side here. I think it's one of those things where two brothers who can't stand each other continue to keep fighting each other because the ethnicity and all that stuff is so mixed now. It's like just because you're Jewish or Arab in that area, does it really matter? You know, you guys might even be related. You don't even know it. You just hate each other.
They're all related.
And oh, yeah.
That problem's been going on since the days Jesus walked the streets.
So. Oh, yeah. No, the Palestinians have been there a long time, too. So I get the argument of who was here first. What does it really matter who was here first? You know?
I mean, just live your life. You got your little country. So be it.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's the thing. We need to give Palestinians their own land and their own will to self-govern. Mm-hmm. And the argument's been, well, they've given opportunities and they don't know, they won't do it. And I was like, well, is there any manipulation coming from the Israeli government on this on top of this?
Well, wasn't it that they would do it, but they want to have it on the grounds of where Israel
is. Right. It's the fighting over the Holy Land.
Yeah, they want it on because the holy
ground. The Arabs, the Christians, or the Muslims, I should say, the Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews all have some kind of claim to that area. And I think that's why ultimately it's never going to be fully peaceful because it really comes down to who has the bigger stick and who's dominating. Well, the Christians and the Jews right now are dominating that area. There's a lot of Christians that live out there too. I've got a friend from high school, from junior high school that lives out there and has been living out there. He does missions he tries to convert people to Christianity, but it's just a volatile situation to me. I was like, why would you even want to live there? That'd be like saying, let's live in the hood and possibly get shot just walking a Circle K to buy a Polar Pop.
Well,
you know?
He is doing missions. God love him. And that's
trying to spread the word.
That's a calling, you know?
Yeah. And he's been doing it for a long time and I get it, but it's just like, man, is this worth your life? And I bet you he says it might be. You know, that's he feels that he's compelled to be. To me, I'm like, well, if God is going to sort it out, let's let God sort it out. I don't know, man. It's crazy.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been some major conflict recently in that area.
Well, until now.
Yeah.
I mean, Hamas launched thousands and thousands of missiles into and then taken. And that's what sucks about everyone having cell phones these days, because now they're recording their hostage taking and putting it out there. Yes. And it's like, I don't want to watch that crap, but somebody does. That's the thing. Somebody is all about that. You know, it's like, it's sad. It really is.
I just hope we get a new speaker
Yeah, back to the speaker. I know we veered off into Israel. That's my fault.
Jim Jordan.
Yeah, I like him from OH10.
Yeah,
he's a Spitfire kind of guy.
OH10 Jim. Yeah. And other character who at this point he has cancer.
Steve Scalise. Yeah, he was the guy who was shot at the softball game by a
Senators.
From a mainly peaceful protester.
Yeah, in D.C. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, mainly peaceful protester. Mm-hmm. That's all it was. You know, he didn't mean to shoot him. Yeah.
And so out of those two, unless they throw a curveball and let Donald in, those are our choices. So I'm hoping that we get a speaker soon and we can actually get back to business.
And that's what it is. We need to get on. We need to have some kind of direction. We need to have some kind of agenda. And right now, all I see is corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. Smoke screens. Let's do a continuing resolution. How about passing a freaking budget? That is their mandate, to pass a budget. But Congress hasn't done it in years because, oh, well, we cover up the story by doing a CR. So you want to just keep fighting is what it comes down to.
And we need a common sense budget that actually can
truly cuts the government,
cut the deficit and cut the debt back. And
deficit and debt, those are two different things. Those usually get mixed up a lot of times. But no, but both the deficit and the debt.
We need some common sense programs. Quit launching programs to get rid of ovens and stoves that run
gas stoves. Yeah. Like that became an environmental hazard, you know, all of a sudden because somebody declared it. Give me a break, you know, but we'll see what happens. I like Jim Jordan. I don't really know much about Steve Scalise. Not that I'm against him or anything like that, but I know Jordan's been on a tear about the committees and everything, but you know, we'll see what happens with this. I think it's one of those stories we'll circle back to because, that things are just a mess right now, you know.
Sure, we'll update soon on that story. Welcome back to All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewy.
Yeah, and before we get in the show, I didn't do the promo where you can find us at AcabonaRadio.com. You can send us an email at AcabonaRadio@gmail.com. Search for us at Acabona Radio on X or Twitter, whatever we want to call it. And Facebook page, All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewy. So what do you got for us, Pirate?
Well, you always had a pair of Crocs back in the day. And
yes, been wearing them for a long time. We were just talking about this off air, and I said, let's save this for the podcast.
I always thought you looked goofy in them back
then. They are goofy looking, but I tell you what, you own a pair now. They're comfortable as hell. I've been wearing them since 2005. Before you get into your story here, which is related to Crocs, I got introed to them by when I was scuba diving. And my instructor said, these shoes are ugly, but they're comfortable and your feet don't stink because the holes help things breathe. They have good grip on the boat. So when we're scuba diving and walking around, you're not going to fall all over the place. So I've been wearing them a long time before they were cool. They kind of went out of cool a few years back, but they came back. And I think people just accept them now. So what's your Croc story you got?
Well, I have a pair. I wasn't 2005. I think I was I was given a pair for a gift recently, a couple of years back. I got the camouflage. I love camouflage.
Yeah, mine are camo too. I got mine at Bass Pro.
And I've been wearing them and I was so surprised at the comfortable. They're also, you know, easy to get in and out of.
I think they're great for hot climates.
And you can wear them in wet. You can wear them anywhere. I mean, I've worn them out to eat. I think I've been to the Union in them once, I think. And
should I wear them the Union?
Yeah.
All the time.
And they're easy to clean. And I actually have the flip-flops Crocs.
Okay. Yeah, I have the slides, and then I have what you call the regular Crocs, you know, the one with the strap on the back of it.
I have the flip-flop. Maybe it is the slide. I don't like the word slide. I think it's a lazy word.
Slides. You don't like the word slides?
Call them slides.
I didn't even know what that was till a few years ago. Somebody says, "Hey man, you stepped on my slides," and I'm like, "What?" And then it took me a second. I was like, "Oh, because you slid your foot into it."
I mean, why do we have to have these words?
Somebody comes up with it. You know,
it's ridiculous. But anyways, okay. So now I have another set that I'm going to get. It's the Crocs Classic Country Cowboy Boots that they're releasing.
Cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots.
Yeah, I had to go look these up, and I started laughing, and they still look like Crocs, but they actually don't look all that terrible. It's just a big rubber boot, though.
I am getting a pair, man.
You're going to get a pair.
I am on these like okay. bees on honey,
you,
man.
You enjoy. I don't think I'm going to go that far. As much as I like Crocs, I don't think I'm going to get into that.
You're going to see me in them, and you're going to want a pair.
We'll see, because I just look at the picture, and I'm like, okay, I mean, the strap has a spur on it. Come on, man.
Come on, Ching Wong Cowboy. You know you want a pair. So they're going to be about $120, which ain't bad.
Okay. Okay.
For a pair of boots. I mean, my Ariats are usually in the $200-$300 range. Mm-hmm. And they're leather. These are rubber. They have stitching in them. They're going to have a area to put the spurs in the back attached to the back strap. And they're actually spinnable, the spurs.
Oh, so the spurs are removable?
Yeah, I guess you can take them off and put them on.
All right.
And then they have like a spinnable spur on there. So if you want to spur somebody. And then where the toe is, you know, on a lot of boots, sometimes you get like a star on your boot or something. Mm-hmm. So they say you can get the gibbets can be stars or moons or maybe some cowboy stuff, cowboy hat on. You can get all kinds of gibbets, you know.
Well, this is a podcast, so obviously we cannot show you through our version of the radio, but everyone knows what Google is. If you're interested in seeing what these things look at, just Google them, because when Pirate and I were doing show prep and he told me about this, that's the first thing I did before we started this subject. I was like, I got to see what these things look like.
Well, and this has been, and I was so happy to see this because I love cowboy boots.
Yeah, you're a cowboy wearing guy.
I'm a cowboy. If I can wear them right now, I'd have them on, but it's kind of awkward in shorts sometimes. But I will wear my Crocs cowboy boots with shorts when I do get them. I'm going to wear.
I'm taking a picture of that.
We'll put it on the Pirate and Chewy website or on the Facebook.
On the Facebook page. There you go.
Or X or whatever else you got.
Yeah, we can put it on X too. That's not a problem.
So the they said this has been the number one most requested Croc shoe design.
Really?
Yes. They've been getting notices from customers and potential customers saying, when are you going to make cowboy boots?
Wow. Well, I tell you one Croc I wish they'd bring back, and it has nothing to do with Crocs. At one time, the University of South Florida had USF Crocs, and I still have a pair, but I rarely wear them anymore because they're kind of worn out. Well, they stopped making them because of the whole copyright thing. USF is very strict when it comes to their logo, and they basically ended the contract with Crocs, and of course, they can't make it anymore. So what aggravates me is walking around town, and when you do see, you'll see Florida State Seminoles, you'll see Gators, you'll see Miami, you'll see the Golden Knights, UCF, but we don't have any USF Crocs. I would love to have a brand new pair of USF Crocs.
I'd buy a pair of the Bulls.
Yeah, man, Crocs. But no, they stop.
Maybe they'll have them in the cowboy boots eventually.
It's about the trademark with the logo. USF has always been very, very protective of it. That's why a lot of these
they got to lose.
I know.
Man.
Well, that's the thing. They can license this off, but they ended the licensing with so many. That's why a lot of these mom and pop places around town, you don't see them anymore, like Bulls Haven.
Yeah,
because they were licensed to sell Bulls gear. Well, USF ended the contract with them, and when your whole business model is selling USF gear, of course you're going to go under because now you don't sell what your store name is about, and it's a damn shame that USF does this. I think they're way too overprotected of their brand. You know,
I think so too.
They can make easy money off of the brand, but they don't.
Well, get more fans out there, get more people interested in the games that they have and the sports programs or the school in general.
Oh, yeah. Well, based on the football games, no. Which is their main bread and butter. You know.
So if you want these boots, we need to go to the website for Crocs, crocs.com. They're going to be on there soon, sometime here in October.
And like I said, you can already check them out on Google.
And then, they said also, too, because of this, as of the June reporting of their earnings, this has been their best year ever.
Crocs are super popular again.
They're getting popular again. A lot of pop music stars brought them back into the popularity on their videos and social media and all. Like, I think Justin Bieber and Bad Bunny and a couple other pop stars have brought them back.
Well, that's the thing. They are ugly. But God, they are comfortable shoes, man.
Comfortable as hell, man.
They really are, man. I do enjoy wearing Crocs.
Yeah, and they are 346 Croc stores strong at this point.
So nice. Well, we got one here in our town.
We got one up in the chapel up there.
Yeah, well, we also got one at the Brandon Mall.
I don't go there, but okay.
Well, and neither do I, hardly. But yeah. if push come to shove, you need some Crocs. But we also have a Bass Pro Shops in here. Even though it's technically Tampa, we still call it Brandon. I'll just go there when my pair wear out.
Well, you can go to Beals, too, because they're a supplier of them.
Just to let you know, that's Bells, because Pirate has his own way of names. Because had I not thrown in that comment there, people are like, what is Beals?
Well, that's what it's pronounced, Beals.
Yeah, confuse the listeners. Hey, I try to look up Beals. Where is that?
Apparently, the Crocs are affiliated with my second most favorite shoe that I wear all the time.
What's that?
Hey, Dude.
Hey, Dude, huh?
I love Hey Dude shoes. Yeah.
Hey Dude shoes.
Yeah. And sometimes I mispronounce that and I call them Hey Boy shoes.
Yeah. But that sounds like something Sam Elliott would say. Hey Dude.
Hey Dude.
It's like, let me tell you this story about Jeff Lebowski. That's what I love about these microphones. I can change my voice a little bit and go a little deeper here. And that's just all me.
Yeah, you sound like Sam Elliott right now, too.
Well, I just watched Big Lebowski again Friday night for the umpteenth time. I've got a problem. But you know what? When I'm in a good mood and having a little hash on the side, it's I still laugh my ass off.
Are you in a good mood right now, too?
I'm in a great mood, and I'm going to continue to be in a good mood. And, you know, we'll tell you why towards the end of the show here.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood today. Shout out to my family. I'm a grandpa now.
Yeah, man. Congratulations. You are a grandpa now.
Never been one till now.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. You're a grandpa.
Yeah, yeah. My stepdaughter had a child here at the hospital. And
so when I don't see you for a while, you'll be like, oh, man, I got to watch the baby.
Uh-huh. Well, once it's not a baby anymore, that's when the fun starts, you know.
Yeah, because right now they don't do a whole lot except for look cute.
That's it.
You know.
Have a bottle, sleep.
And it just me being practical. I mean, they shit themselves, they piss themselves, but they look cute.
Yeah, they always look cute. They look cute.
Yeah,
they just sleep, look cute. Then you change your diaper, and they go back to sleep, and it look.
Yeah,
cute
again. And then they'll do a little shout out when they're ready to eat. They'll let you know. You know, so there's not a whole lot going on the first couple of months, other than take a bunch of pictures because they're gonna keep growing. You know, so you gotta document it now.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to the time when the little.
You need to get your granddaughter some baby Crocs.
Yeah, I will. I'll probably buy a pair of camo ones for her, hook her up. Maybe even the camo boots if they come out with them for her.
She's a girl. You got to get her some pink ones, man.
Maybe they have pink cowboy boots coming down the range there.
We'll see.
That'll be awesome.
We'll see. Well, yeah. Well, so keep an eye out on cowboy Crocs. That'll be very, very interesting.
Yeah, when Pirate gets a pair, Chewy will post and you guys will see them.
What are Pirate and Chewy watching? Well, Pirate doesn't have anything right now, which is okay, but I just finished up that series, Jack Reacher, starring Alan Richardson, which is on Amazon Prime. And how long ago did you watch the show, Pirate?
It's a while back.
It's been a few months?
Yes.
Okay, because I looked it up. It came out in, I think, summer of 2022, so it's a little bit over a year old, but supposedly season two comes out in December. We'll see.
Well, what are you watching that? Where at in it?
I finished the series, so I got through all eight series or eight episodes, and dude, I was impressed, man. I mean, not only is he a big dude, and I didn't read the books before, so I knew the premise of the character because I know Tom Cruise had that movie a few years ago, and it wasn't that good, and it had nothing to do with Tom Cruise. Well, it did in a way, because Tom Cruise is not a big guy. He's a fit guy.
You didn't
but
like
he's not
Tom
a
Cruise
big,
being
he's,
in the, he's, the Reacher?
I didn't like the. I didn't think it fitted the character persona all that well. And I thought this guy, Alan Richardson, did. And I know Alan Richardson from other works. He was in a superhero movie called Titans. He also played Aquaman in the show Smallville from 20 years ago. And he was a big jacked up dude then. But I like the sheriff's deputy, Roscoe, man, the blonde. She was tough, but she was kind of cute. Not like a model or anything like that, but just, you know, like that girl next door kind of thing going, you know?
And who is she played by?
I didn't get her name because I don't think she's in season two.
Okay.
But, Willa Fitzgerald. Willa Fitzgerald.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just thought, you know, not hot. I just thought she was cute, but the fighting, he wasn't
hesitant to confront anybody. Those guys came in the jail cell and he just jacked that one dude up. Yeah, I'm like, holy crap. And I noticed his fighting style. I don't know the name of it, but he does a lot of the close and elbow stuff, which is kind of accurate with some martial arts.
More like Taekwondo.
No, it's a different kind. It's not Taekwondo, because Taekwondo is like the Korean version of karate. I forgot the name of it. In the Christian Bale Batman movies, he did the same kind of fighting style where you end fights quickly by using your elbows and your knees and like these huge direct, not punches, but just knock you. It's like a knocking blow, because this style of fighting is meant when you're fighting several people. You don't have the time like a boxer to be like, hey, man, put your dukes up. Let's go.
Yeah, you don't have time to isolate your fist towards a face. Instead, you use your whole forearm to take out several bodies of people.
Yeah, so when that dude confronted him in the jail cell and wanted the shoes and all this stuff, and he told him, this is my house, you get out. And he just nailed him right to the bunk bed and knocked him out. I'm like, holy crap, man. So yeah, no, he was cool. And then the Captain Finley, that guy cracked me up, because he was all about doing it by the books, and he was kind of a dick about it, but you know what? He wasn't wrong. And he was the cop from Boston. He moved down to Georgia to take the job as a captain in Musgrave.
Yes.
You seem a little lost here. I think you haven't seen it in a while.
Well, it's been a long way, and I didn't watch it back to back, you know.
So. Okay, yeah, that kind of helps too.
I remember some of it, but it was a good series, a good show. I liked the character. I like the you know, just the action.
Well, I'm looking forward to season two, even though, you know, minor spoiler, it's not going to, they said maybe December. But it's not going to take place in Georgia. I think he's going to move on to other places, because that's what Jack Reacher does.
He travels to get away from his past.
Yeah, he's like a drifter. And and since he has a Army retirement, he's retired from the Army, he gets a pension, so he's not hurting for money. He pretty much lives a simple life. And the premise was he was trying to find out who murdered his brother. So he didn't even want to go to Musgrave, Georgia. He was just tracking down some leads that he heard about, and it... You know, I don't want to spoil too much. It just turned into what it did. But
when's the next season?
So it's supposed to be December is what they're rumoring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But
it's coming up.
But what I liked about the show is that all of the Musgrave PD squad cars were Ford Tauruses.
Oh, that's your favorite car, too.
Well, yeah. Well, because I own one.
You have a
Chevy Taurus. I got a 2014 Ford Taurus, and I was looking at the interior. It's the same model design of mine. Of course, it's probably the cop model, the SHO, probably, most likely. But yeah, it was just cool to see a Ford Taurus. Like the last time I was in New York City, I saw an NYPD Ford Taurus. I had to take a picture of it. I was like, hey, that's my car. I even looked inside, and then I was looking around, making sure, you know, it's okay. I don't want to look like I'm snooping. I am snooping, but I just wanted to see what the interior looked like, and the dashboard and everything is pretty spot on to what I own. But the other part of the show that I liked was the other actor, Kristen Crook. She played Charlene Hubble, and she was that mom who was in the witness protection program. She had the two daughters. Well, she was also in Smallville. So between Alan Ritchson and Kristen Crook, they were both in Smallville together. So it was like two actors who worked in two different shows together are in this show. So and I think she's just drop dead gorgeous. Her national, she's Canadian, but her ethnicity is that she's half Dutch, half Chinese.
Oh, wow. It's a combination.
And so she, again, is petite. Of course, she's a brunette. She's part Ching. So, you know, really, really cool show. But, you know, yeah, when season two comes out, we'll have to review it again. But you're not watching anything right now. I know you've been busy. You haven't done your homework yet with the Blu-ray I loaned to you last time, but that was only a week ago.
I didn't even have a chance to fire the Blu-ray up. Man, the TV.
You've been so busy.
There is dust on the TV remote. Okay.
All right. Well, luckily this week, and we'll get into it when we get into one of your topics here with sports. I mean, we don't have the Bucks this week because they're on a bye week.
But they're on bye week. The baseball season's over
for us. Yeah, but
for the Devil Rays.
Well, yeah, let's go ahead and we'll pause and then transition into your story that we have with some sports.
All Over the Road sports segment with Pirate and Chewy.
All right.
This is Pirate here again. And so the Tampa Bay Rays, they choked. They're out of the
They lost to the Rangers, three-game series, and got swept in two games.
Wild card is over with for Tampa Bay, but they did great this year.
But, hey, they did great, and we're going to get a new stadium in a few years. So, yay.
Yeah, they did good. I mean, next year could be a promising season. You know, maybe there's going to be some
adjustments.
Adjustments, some different players brought in, some people moved around, kind of shuttled around, and I'm sure eventually here they'll get the recipe for success.
Yes.
And starting Tuesday, NHL starting.
Oh man, I'm fired up, man. I'm excited for hockey, dude. I really am. I love this time of year with sports, man. I mean, the Rays were in the playoffs, and I'll continue to keep an eye on MLB, even though the Rays aren't there. But hockey and football are going. College football's going. Man, good time.
Yeah, in the. The Bucks will be playing next week.
So they're on a bye week this week. So we don't have our typical sports segment, but I'll be out of town, which I'll cover here towards the end of the show. So that's a teaser. So you have to stick to the end of the show to find out what's going on with Chewbacca's future travels here. But Bucks will be wearing creamsicle next week. So they're going to be wearing throwback. So I know a lot of fans are happy about to see the old uniforms, the old orange and white, man, the Bucko Bruce.
That's going to be just something just
nostalgic
and awesome to see that. I haven't seen something like that in like 25, 30 years almost, you know?
Yeah, it's been a while since 25
plus years.
Yeah, at least. It's been a while since they've wore. I think one time before the reason why they haven't wore the throwbacks in a while is because the helmet protocols got changed in the NFL because all the concussions and everything, and they had this thing about, well, you still have to stick with the same helmet. Well, wearing the pewter helmet with orange and white would look ridiculous, so they just opted out and didn't do it. Well, now they changed it up again to allow you to change your helmet. So now they'll be able to wear the full-on creamsicle orange and white. And those who aren't familiar, the creamsicle is the orange and white uniforms with Bucko Bruce, which the Buccaneers debuted in, what was it, 1978 was their first year? 78, 77, 78, 76. Something like that.
Oh, and Bucko Bruce is a pirate.
He's a pirate.
With mustache and long hair and a feather. And
feather in his cap.
And he has in his mouth a scabbard.
It's a scabbard. I was just going to say a knife.
It's a scabbard.
We're using the pirate terms here. What's the matter with you?
What's wrong with you, matey? You're going to walk the plank. Yeah, this would be great if they can do this on a yearly
deal. They will. That is the plan. The thing that makes me a little sad. I wish we got to see Tom Brady in creamsicle. That would have been so cool, man. Yeah, he retired.
He retired.
You fucker. Now we can go back to hating him again, because I didn't care for him before. And it's not about his talent. It's not even about him. It's just he was so damn good. You love to hate him with the Patriots, right? But then
Pats. But
when he got signed with us, it was like, okay, I like you. Typical fan, right? I'm on the wagon.
Typical awkwardness too, man.
Yeah, but now that he's not a Buccaneer anymore, fuck you. No, I just kidding. It happens. Hey, he gave us a Super Bowl, man.
Yes.
I never thought we'd win one Super Bowl, much less two Super Bowls. So, man, ain't no complaints here with that, dude.
Dropped the trophy in the Hillsborough River.
Yeah. And you know, for a guy who seemed a little uptight, it was nice to see him loosen up.
Yeah.
It was. He was trashed and good.
Good. He needed it.
Good. Have some fun, Tom. Yeah. You don't have to be on the keto diet all the time.
Well, he earned that celebration. So yeah. That was good.
So anyways, even though we don't have our traditional sports segment these days, what's your topic about?
Well, I have other. Yeah, we have. I didn't have any scores or updates, but I'm sure folks are okay with that.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'll have some another day.
I don't either. I won't even bring up the Bulls or anything. They lost. West Virginia won. The Bulls lost. The Bulls lost bad. They lost to Alabama. I don't even know the score. Crazy enough, Trent Dilfer was the head coach of the Alabama Blazers. The University of Alabama Blazers. Their debut into the American Athletic Conference, also known as the AAC, as we call it. And
they pretty much dominated the Bulls yesterday. I don't even know the score. I watched the game, but I'm having a mental block other than that.
Trent Dilfer, another Buccaneers quarterback that just couldn't get it done.
Couldn't get it done, but then he went to the Ravens the next year and won a Super Bowl in our house that he played in. I mean, talk about a slap in the face, man. That's why being a Buccaneers fan stung for so many years, because we had so many quarterbacks who went on to other teams and won Super Bowls. And you think to yourself, why didn't you play like that when you were here? You know? But
who the hell knows, man?
Anyways, but yeah, what you got?
What else we got here is the Super Bowl LV358.
Yeah. Right, in the Super Bowl 58.
Yeah, yep. LV3 is what I call it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's Roman numerals. I actually challenge myself at Roman numerals. I do know it, but I have to think about it for a second.
Yeah, I have to think a lot about it because you just don't use those.
No, you don't. Day. It's not common.
No, it's not.
We learned it in school, but whether you paid attention to that, I don't know. That's one of those few subjects I did pay attention to.
So this year's Super Bowl will be February 1st or 11th, February 11th in Las Vegas.
Oh, so they're playing in the brand new Raiders Stadium.
Yes.
Or what was it called after the airline there? What was it?
Allegiant.
Allegiant Airlines. That's right. All Giant Airlines.
All Giant Stadium.
All right. All Giant Stadium. Okay.
Yeah. All Giant Stadium, Las Vegas, in the stadium that the old Los Angeles Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders were there. The Oakland Raiders at one time that became Los Angeles, that went back to Oakland. Now they're in Vegas. They are the Las Vegas Raiders. They're the pirate team of the West.
They must have a big moving bill. Can you imagine back and forth?
Right. And we had a great Super Bowl with them because that was a pirate Super Bowl.
That was the pirate
Super Bowl 37.
That was the one that we won, man.
What a freaking year, dude.
That was with the best A team ever, man.
You know what we need to do one time when you're not so busy and I'm not so busy? I still have the DVD from that season.
You want to rewatch that game?
Well, it's not even just rewatching the game. It's a recap of the season through documentary style. It's beautiful, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That team kicked ass. God, that team was great.
There wasn't one player on there that was lousy.
No.
Every guy was unique.
Michael Pittman, Simeon Rice, Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp. I mean, John Lynch, Martin Gramatica, Booger McFarland, Brad Johnson. Michael Allstott. God, I can keep going on about that team.
The list is
best,
long.
Best Buccaneer team ever, in my
best
opinion.
Ever.
Best ever. Even better than Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is the GOAT, but that team was way better.
That team is the A team.
That was the A team.
Much respect for the Bucks team for winning the Super Bowl.
And when it just comes to pure Bucks history, that was the best team ever.
Yeah, and I got the
Shelton Quarles, Rondé Barber, Michael Kelly. See, now all these names are starting to pop back on me.
Rondé Barber was just into the Hall of Fame.
He just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he spent his whole career with the Bucks.
Got his gold coat finally, man.
Yeah, which is a rare thing these days to have a player with one team for his whole career, and he did it.
Yeah,
he did it.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, with the Super Bowl coming up this year, they're starting to pick artists who do the headlining of the halftime show. Last year was Rihanna. Remember her?
Yes.
She was pregnant with her child, and she was up there on a stage shaking it like there was no tomorrow.
She's great.
Yeah, she's really good.
I like Rihanna.
Yeah.
Rihanna, however you're supposed to pronounce her name. I don't know.
Yeah, we're yeah. And so they talked to Taylor Swift. She says, no, I'm not going to do it.
Taylor didn't want to do it, huh? Nah, she's too busy dating the chef's guy.
Yeah, she's too busy with him. And so, and she's on tour. So, Usher.
Yeah.
Usher.
Sorry, guys. That's Pirate and Chewy's karaoke.
Yeah, so he's going to be on there. He's
I like Usher, man. Like Usher, I haven't heard from him in a long time, man.
Yeah, he's a 2000s artist.
He was. Yeah. He was 90s too. A little bit of 90s. Yeah, what did he do? Just make a lot of money and take a break?
I think he's just been chilling.
Well, maybe we might. The thing is with the Super Bowl performance, he probably will play all his big hits, so we won't hear anything.
He's got a lot of hits, man.
Yeah, he does have a lot of hits.
And so he's going to be there, and that'll be a good show. I'm sure people enjoy it. Those shows are only a few minutes long, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they play tidbits of each song. The songs are, they're mixed mosh.
Yeah, like Rihanna did. She played up. Like a minute and a half, 2 minutes of each song, and then transitioned into the next song.
Yeah. So, and then there's they talked to Oliver Anthony, the country sensation. It just recently did the Richmond down in up in
Richmond and north of Virginia.
North of Virginia, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's his name. Yeah, the redhead guy.
Yeah, redheaded beard guy.
Yeah. He became the big hit right after Jason Aldean's Try That in a Small Town and pissed a lot of people off. And I'm like, what? Truth upsets you?
I suppose, but it's a great song. Both of the songs that they had were great. So, Oliver Anthony turned it down. He said, look, I'm not going to take any money. They offered him $1 million for it.
Really? And he turned it down.
Oliver Anthony said, I would never take any money to sing for our country. I'll do it.
Oh, so they wanted him to do the national anthem, but he turned down the gig. But at the same time, he said, I don't want to do this for the money.
Yes. He just
That's freaking noble, man.
Yeah, very patriotic and noble in my book.
And very patriotic. It's a damn shame he wouldn't do it, though.
Yeah, well, so then they moved on, and they called up Mr. Aldean, Jason Aldean, and he said...
They offered it to him, too?
And he turned down the money.
Ah! Wouldn't he turn down the money, or is he going to do the show?
Well, he said, I would do it, but I will not take a dime.
So it's still a possibility, Mr. Jason Aldean.
It is.
Who is the opener of our show, by the way.
It is.
Dirt Road Anthem is the name of the song. Just in case y'all didn't know that, I only knew about that song a while ago, and I remember I was asking you one time at one of the parties, like, you know, I'm not the biggest country guy, but at least not modern country, and I'm like, hey, Pirate, who is this? And you're like, man, that's Jason Aldean. I was like, man, I like this song.
Yeah, you know? So the Dirt Road Anthem song was written by Brantley Gilbert.
Oh, right. Back in 2010, too. It's kind of an older song
now. It's been around for a while.
Kind of. Not like old, it's but it's, old. You know, 13 years ago. You know,
it was a hit. That song went number one, and Brantley Gilbert was a songwriter before he became a big artist, and he
probably producer too, I imagine.
And he just wrote the song, and Jason Aldean picked it up and said, "Yeah, I'm going to sing it."
Okay.
And Jason really did a great job with
it.
And,
okay.
You know, it's been one of Jason Aldean's best songs ever, I believe. And
right.
So, and one day I'll have to play the song that Brantley Gilbert did the. Dirt Road Anthem Revisited song. You'll have
I tell you what, I mean, because Pirate and I, we go back between our song of the week and, the teaser again, I'm still not saying, but even though I talked about where I'm going and then you end up picking the song. But I tell you what, keep that in the back of your mind to pick that song, because I'd like to hear a different take on Dirt Road Anthem.
Okay, it's a good song. Okay. So anyways, yeah, so... Possible Jason Aldean.
That'd be awesome.
I'd like to see him sing the national anthem.
Man, yeah.
He'd probably belt it out.
I love that Try That in a Small Town song, dude. I really do, man. And yeah. I know he took a little shit for it and racism. Well, as soon as you say that, fuck off, because you don't know what racism is. Sorry. If you're gonna argue with me or come at me or attack, not even just me, I shouldn't even be making this about me. If you're gonna attack somebody and say it's racist and you don't have anything to back it off, fuck off. Basically, just, and this ain't a PG show here, but just fuck off, you know, just because I am so sick and tired of the selective racism around here. And then you can't even back up with your argument. What makes it racist? Okay. Well, thank you for the, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, you know,
what I think
you're clearing your throat out, huh?
I think a lot of times when people see country music, I mean, me being a very big country music fan, I think people in general just think, well, you're a country music fan.
Yeah, you're just a white boy redneck.
And that's what they think. And yeah, maybe I might be some of that, but I'm not.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being a white boy redneck? Ain't nothing wrong with being a white boy redneck.
And they kind of make that a bad thing. And there's nothing wrong with Jason Aldean being who he is, being himself, being true to himself.
Well, those dumb shits again were like, well, there was people lynched in that town, you know, back in the day. And I was like, well, that's funny, because Miley Cyrus did a video in front of that same building. And because you like her, that's okay.
Well, and what I have to say about that is if people are they nuts? Like, a lot of things happened in the South.
Yeah.
So does that mean we should just ban the whole South?
Yeah. Should you walk around that now since something happened there? Yeah,
should we just all move out of the South because bad things happened here? No.
Okay, well, let's shut down the Capitol building because I got trespassed on January 6th. Let's shut it down. That's it.
Oh, that's shut it down.
You just violated sacred ground. It's done.
I mean, there was a lot of bad things that happened. The best thing we can do is learn.
Know it, learn from it, and move on from it. Right.
And stop bringing this up as racism.
Well, stop bringing up selective outrage and selective racism. And I don't even like using the term selective racism because there's nothing racist about the song. Piss off, you know. And even if there was, there's plenty of other artists out there that do racist stuff or misogynistic stuff or bigotry, whatever you want to call it, and they're not canceled. So. Cancel culture is on its way out anyways. Jason Aldean was not canceled. They tried to cancel him, but they didn't cancel him. So, yeah, no, that's cool, though. Usher is going to be performing the halftime show, right, for the Super Bowl?
Yes, sir. I'll be watching the Super Bowl. You'll be watching it.
Of course.
We'll check
probably
it
get
out.
Probably get together for the Super Bowl like we did last year.
We'll give some updates on the show and what songs might be playing, and then we'll actually do a recap, and I'm sure people will like to hear how the show was.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, you know, granted, we keep going, the show going, and we will, because I've already invested some money into this, and you are too. You know, we'll definitely have to talk about the Super Bowl.
Invested?
The time invested and just
time is money, Chewy. Time is money.
The equipment and everything, and it's our passion. We love to talk. That's why we're doing this.
Florida in the news.
Don't worry, we're not burning down. Or maybe we kind of are, but we're getting to that.
Florida is burning down.
Little tease there.
This week in Florida, 6 children were hospitalized in Florida after they ate candy containing cannabis at the Lauderhill Boys and Girls Club on Wednesday this week.
What an asshole. Who gives weed to kids, man? Come on. I am a very small time cannabis user, but I would never to children be like, hey man, you want a hit?
Well, they were cannabis candy gummies, so I can imagine.
Well, edibles, edibles
probably thought it was candy.
Well, yeah, but edibles are part of this whole cannabis craze going on, you know.
Edibles make you high pretty quick
too. Oh yeah, my dispensary sells them where I can, and this is legal, by the way, so don't be going, hey man, you know. And then
Chewy's a pothead, man.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, I have bought, you know, cannabis brownies from certain people, no name dropping here, and they were freaking good. But children, I mean, come on, man.
Well, their ages were 6 to 8 years old.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's
pretty
man.
Young to be.
That's super young, some man. Cannabis candy.
So they were all sent to the Broward Health Medical Center.
Okay, and, Southeast Florida. All right. Wow.
And so, you know, the kids were treated and released, and they've returned back to their normal activities. Usually that's what happens.
Yeah, but I wonder if they like it. I wonder if, well, I want to see that, and I wonder if they like it now.
They might be hooked on it.
So, now I know what the big deal is.
One of the representatives at the Lauderhill Boys and Girls Club said, it is believed that one of the children had brought the package of gummies from his home to the Boys and Girls
Club. Oh, so you swiped the old man's stash.
Yeah, buddy.
or your brother or
your mom.
Yeah,
your grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, remember, you probably don't, but I'm going to bring it up since we're talking pot here. There was a scene in the movie Teen Wolf. Remember Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox?
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Well, his buddy Stiles was trying to find his brother's stash in the garage.
Yes.
And he couldn't find it. And Michael J. Fox was like, hey, Stiles, I can find your stash. And he turned around and he was the wolf. And he was like, and the thing was, typical 80s movie, your buddy turns into a werewolf and you're not freaking out. And then, of course, he's the wolf. So he's a werewolf. Right. And Michael J. Fox, as the werewolf, starts sniffing. And of course, he finds the stash. So I bet you that's what one of these kids did. They brought in a family member's stash and shared it amongst themselves. And unfortunately, probably got pretty messed up. I can imagine.
They probably didn't even, I mean, maybe they, you know, some kids nowadays are pretty smart, so I hope they realized, but
Oh, I hope they realize they just did weed.
Yeah, now they did. Yeah, so that's what's going on. Other news in Florida story here is Florida was a smoky, smoky place here last week.
Yeah, why is that? How'd that happen?
Well, Canada is still on fire up there.
Wait a second. So we experienced Canadian wildfires in Florida?
1,000-something miles away, buddy.
It's not the snowbirds?
No.
Because they're starting to show up, by the way.
They are.
I noticed an Ontario plate the other day. And, hey, I got no problem with our Canadian neighbors to the north. They're good people. They're just like us. They're just in a different country. But so the wildfires spread here from Canada to all the way to Florida.
Yeah, so what was happening, there was a change in the stream of winds.
Okay.
And the winds were hooking down through New England, coming down through the mid-Atlantic, mm-hmm. and from Savannah all the way down to the Miami area, we were experiencing some pretty thick, smoggy type looking skies.
Now, I don't get out nearly as much as you do. Did you notice it? Because
yes, but okay. I did. There's no like thick smell. Now, when I was in OH-10 back in June.
By the way, that's Ohio. Again, pirate with this word. OH-10 is Ohio. Disclaimer. I just had to clarify that real quick.
Thank you for the disclaimer, sir.
Yeah.
what would I do without you having all these disclaims?
Well, it's not even that. I got to translate for you. You know?
One day when I do like a podcast on my own, I'm going to have you come in and edit and insert afterwards the disclaimers, because I'll be here just talking.
Yeah, and I can tell, I can sound like your typical white businessman. Yeah, pirate there, OH-10, in his words, really means Ohio, okay? It's Ohio. I kind of stole that. It was Bob and Tom's show. There's a bit called Mr. Obvious. And that's how Mr. Obvious sounded like. And I said, he sounds like Eddie Murphy in an 80s skit picking on white people, you know, because that's all it was. He's like, oh, yeah, this is how we talk. You know, this is how white people talk.
Eddie Murphy's rendition.
Right. And it's hilarious. Right. It's great.
A nerdy white guy talking.
Right. 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 Exactly.
So
Canadian wildfires in Florida.
Yeah. And when I was there, I could smell the actual smoke, like trees burning.
Mm. And you can really smell it in the air.
When I was up in OH-10.
Yeah, you're up there a couple months ago.
Here in Florida, you know, as it travels probably through clouds and moisture,
filters out a little bit.
What you could see is the haze of the gray, dark smoke. And it was pretty hazy. Like, the sun was reduced. I don't even think it was that hot. And, of course, the winds were coming out of the Atlantic that day.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I just thought about this now, is that I was up in Tennessee visiting my sister over the summer, and on the drive back to the airport, I had an evening flight. It was not, the sun wasn't down yet, but everything was super hazy, and my sister was like, what the is going on? And I'm like, and I put two and two together. I almost dropped her name. I didn't mean to. I missed that. I told her, I was like, hey, this is the Canadian wildfires. Because nothing normal causes, you know, I shouldn't say nothing normal. That's not a normal sun. And it was so funny, Pirate. It was crazy because it looked like it was just a circle dot in the sky and everything around it glowed. And my sister had never seen anything like that before. And this was at the peak. I mean, do you remember how bad the Northeast got hit by it? Like, they showed Egg York City. It was all orange and just, it's like, wow, dude. And they recommended to you not go outside to avoid.
Oh, if you have respiratory problems, you're going to be experiencing it. And the other day, I experienced.
Did you get hit with it?
I had some respiratory issues that
day. Wow.
My throat was pretty scratchy and itchy. I think I had to spit up a little bit. It was.
Yeah, a little phlegm.
Yeah, it was terrible, man. I'm glad it's gone.
Well, see, caller, all you got to do is just stick your thumb up your butthole, and then you won't worry about your respiratory problems anymore. I think I just found a new skit to do, man. I gotta do the white businessman or Mr. Obvious. Sorry, Bob and Tom, I'm stealing that from you. You have no claim to Mr. Obvious.
Apparently not.
Yeah. Wow. So, but you know what? I'm surprised, but I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, because we get those beautiful sunsets with the Sahara dust, and that comes all the way from Africa. So
that's 1,000 miles or so away.
Way more than 1,000 miles over the whole Atlantic Ocean.
And I wonder what type of chemicals are being distributed over our air and into our soil from either the Saharan dust or the Canadian.
No doubt at all. It can affect farming. It can affect us health-wise, just breathing.
Yes.
So
I'm sure there are some chemicals, carcinogens, other
things. Yeah, no downplay here. You know, no downplay at all. It definitely could have some kind of effect.
Yeah, it's quite scary when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, because we're nowhere close to Canada other than the snowbirds being down here every year. So, man, that's nuts, dude.
It's just weird how amazing how thousands of miles away we feel the effects.
Right. Yeah.
Of a smoky.
Well, it goes to show you that, you know, I'm not to get all hippie-ish or anything, but, you know, we're all connected, whether you believe it or not. And what, you know, just because you think what you do doesn't affect your neighbors, you know, think about like if you cut this tree down, it's in your yard, but it's a big ass tree. But it also provided shade to your neighbor's house. Well, guess what now? Their electric bill is going to start going up because you cut your tree down and at the time. And it's completely within your right to do this. But the consequences or the unintended consequences is like, yeah, I cut this tree down. I didn't realize my neighbor kind of liked that because it provided shade on their house and my house. And now, you know, like my house, I used to have nothing but oak trees all the way around here, branches over my house. My electric bill was nothing back in the day. Dude, it was ridiculous. It was like $70. And granted, we're talking 20 years ago here, but
20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. 20. Yeah, we got to tell you.
Every time he says 20 years or I say it, we always have to yell 20 years.
Yeah, well, that's a story for another time. I think we should have saved that as a teaser. But yeah, no. But yeah, I think that's going to get us to the end of this week's show. You got anything else you want to talk about?
The smoke is done, but it might return. You know, it could return because some fires are still out there. I can't believe they're not under control.
Well, there's that can be another whole subject in itself with a lot of government ineptness going on. But you know what we ought to do is that we ought to save that for a topic of discussion.
We should probably do some research.
Yeah, let's do some research so our opinions on it are a little more rock solid.
I don't have a lot of info, but all I was trying to bring out is that the air here was quite smoggy. It was surprising the living hell out of me. At first I thought it was a Saharan dust. And then once I checked in,
maybe you're getting hit by twofold. You're getting hit by the Saharan dust. You're getting
Canadian
not
smog.
Not for the Canadian smog. Yeah, but yeah, no. So I think that's good for this week's show. But my big teaser for you, if you guys have been sticking around too long, I am going out of town for about a week. I'm going up to West by God, Virginia. So
West by God.
Yeah, so we won't have a show next week, but
we'll be on a bye week, just like the Buccaneers.
We'll be on a bye week, but I'm looking forward to relaxing. I don't have anything planned other than I'm going to do a lot of hiking because my cousin is a park ranger, so he is literally in charge of a state park, and there's a lot of trails. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of hiking we can do. Plus, the trees are at peak changing time, and I fly drones, so. He told me, definitely bring up the drone, man.
You should post some pics on the Pirate and Chewy.
I definitely will, because not only is that personal, that's also part of the stories we share with you guys as our listeners. So Pirate picked the song and show prep this week, but it's going to be John Denver's Take Me Home. And it's also known as Country Roads. And I tried to look up the album for it. Turned out it was a single. Released in 1971, and I choke up every time I hear this song, and I know the words, of course, verbatim, but something about that song, it does take me home. West Virginia is my home away from home. I love Florida, and I've got my roots here, of course, but something about that state. And of course, you got some stories you can tell real quick about West Virginia. You know the state pretty well.
I've been to Charleston. Had family live there. We traveled.
That's on the southern end.
In the center part of the state.
Yeah. See, I'm more of the northern end. I know more about the northern end of West Virginia. Morgantown, Kaiser.
I've spent some time in Parkersburg, Charleston, Beckley.
Beckley.
Beckley is a great little town there. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I've been all over that area. I've been to Morgantown once.
It's a beautiful state.
Yeah, I've been all over that state.
Well, everyone knows how much of a pizza fan I am. And in Morgantown, there's this place called Pies and Pints. Even though it's an appetizer pizza, they'll still make it in a full-blown pizza. It is a pizza where the crust is smashed tater tots.
Nice.
So it tastes like a baked potato with cheese, bacon, chives. Dude, it is unbelievable. I'm mouthing, my water is mouthing right now just talking about it. It's so good, dude. So I didn't go last year. So hopefully we got a whole week to do, because my cousin's wife was already asking me, what do you want to do when you come up there? And she calls me Gee. That's one of my other nicknames. And it's like, I didn't give her any other ideas. But last year we didn't do any of my favorite restaurants. So hopefully we can squeeze it in this time.
Well, maybe you do a little restaurant crawl or tour of the area.
Yeah, I'll have a union meeting up there, right?
You could do it on the FaceTime.
Yeah.
Fake time.
There you go, fake time.
Fake time. You could call us all, maybe Mr. Hill and me and you and the rest of the dudes will be on there. We could do fake time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so we'll go ahead and wrap up show number 8 here, and this is All Over the Road with Pired and Chewy. And please, we're at www.akebonaradio.com. Send us an email at akebonaradio@gmail.com. Look for us on Facebook. Just search for All Over the Road with Pired and Chewy and Akebona Radio on X. And even though it's not a huge announcement all the time, stick around for the after show. We got a topic for you that Pired and I are definitely passionate about. So let's go ahead and wrap up this show, Pired. Go ahead and send us off, man.
Keep on smiling, all us loyal listeners.
So we'll see you all later. Take care.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country roads, all my memories gather round her, miner's lady, stranger to blue water. Dark and dusty, painted on the sky, misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Country roads, take me home to the place. Country roads, take me home.
show. Man, I freaking love that song, dude. Chokes me up every time, man. I mean, just, God, I love that freaking song. And rest in peace to John Denver, you know, died in a plane crash. He's flying a plane solo and didn't work out for him, unfortunately.
Yeah, God rest his soul. Yeah. Man, kick-ass song, masterpiece. You know, that song applies not just to people that live in West Virginia. I think it applies to, you could apply it to anywhere.
Anywhere. Any small town.
Any small town
that you live in. It was a Jason Aldean, try that in a small town. Not that it's politically charged, but either way, to me, the underlying message is still the same. It's about small town.
It's just about home, getting home. Back. Coming back home to wherever you're at. Whether you're in the country, the city, it's take me home.
Yeah.
And it could be any state. It's kind of like Margaritaville.
And I genuinely, even though I've been up there more times than I can count, I genuinely look forward to going to West Virginia, man. Just, God, that state, man. And just this time of year with the trees and everything, it's just going to be beautiful. But yeah, the after show. So our topic of the after show is good beers that we like to drink. Oh, did you hear that sweet sound of a Schafferhofer getting cracked? It's just because you guys don't know, I got to explain this. But Pirate just popped the Schafferhofer, which is a grapefruit Hefeweizen. Damn good beer. Damn good beer. And oh,
this hits the spot.
Oh, it does. And you know what?
Pirate's loving this right now.
Well, I tried that beer years ago at Epcot's Food and Wine Festival when we stopped off. I said festival.
Did you say festival?
I did. I said festival.
Oh, festival.
Festival.
That would be good for the USF
Bulls. Yeah, go Bulls. No, festival. And it was in Germany. And at the time, and this was like late 2000s, 2008, 2009. That beer was not put on mass production yet. It was more like a, let's try this out and see what you think. And I remember the first time I tried it, I'm like, oh my God, that is refreshing. Plus it was, you know, even though it was November in Florida at the time, I think it was October, November, still hot as hell. By the time I got to Germany, I was already drunk. That would be a thing that I know you haven't done yet, but to do a food and wine festival, I think you'd really like it, because especially you, me, and the wife, we can be adult or kid-free adults, and it's basically, the other word is drinking around the world, because not only does Epcot have all these countries that's been part of the park since the day one, they put up these extra kiosks and booths, so you can try African food or from Kenya. You can try food from Argentina, and these
are have like kangaroo meat and all from Kenya,
probably from Australian.
Oh, okay.
I think I actually saw that there. I just couldn't do it, cause I do love animals, and I'm good with the basic meats that we have. I'm not a tree hugger by any of the stretch of the means, but it's like, you know what? I don't feel the need to go try a meat that I've never had before, because I'm good with my beef. I'm good with my chicken. I'm good with my fish. I'm good with my tatanka. But I think you'd like it with that beer. I don't mean to veer off a topic here, but.
The Schafferhofer beer. I remember the first time I ever tried it. I bought it when it was in the little slim can.
Yeah. I remember that. Yep.
Little 4-pack of them in the store at Publix. And I said, wow, look at that. Let me try that out. That looks, you know, I like to try new things.
Of course.
I brought it home. Popped.
Yeah, we're not just loyal to one beer.
No, I'm always in the mood to try something out. And it's a Hefeweizen beer. I like to drink regular Hefeweizen.
Mm-hmm.
The actual Hefeweizen that Beef O'Brady's has is a great beer.
Yeah. No, they do have some of their craft beers there. Well, my favorite beer and it is absolutely my favorite beer, and it's only this time of the year. It's Sam Adams Oktoberfest, which I am drinking one right now. So I always look forward to this time of the year. But the beer, so this beer is like an amber beer, and it's got just a hint of cinnamon to it, but not like an overpowering sweet taste. Just enough you can taste it, but it goes away because it's still a beer. But this has been my favorite beer of all time, probably since about 1996. A buddy of mine introduced me to it. And at the time, I hated all Sam Adams because I thought Sam Adams was too strong of a taste, because I was just your typical, you know, I just got out of the Marine Corps at the time. I was your typical American. I like Budweiser, Miller Lite, Coors. I just wanted to stick to the normal stuff, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. I thought any Sam Adams, was too overpowering with taste. So a buddy of mine shoved this in my face and like, here, try this. I was like, man, I don't like Sam Adams. He goes, no, try this. You'll really like it. I took a sip of it, dude, and became a fan ever since then. And I'm glad it only comes out once a year for a few months, because it is a seasonal beer. But speaking of which surprised the shit out of me was a Sam Adams Jacko Pumpkin Ale. And I do not like pumpkin beer at all. But this one, this kicks ass, dude. This is freaking awesome, dude.
I had that pumpkin. It's pretty good. I like pumpkin ale.
Yeah, I know. Like Jacko's cinnamon and nutmeg aromas recall memories of a freshly baked pumpkin pie. Yeah, that's right. It's about the equivalent of a pumpkin pie. So,
it's a pumpkin pie beer. I like it. Yeah,
so that's what I like. And that the thing is, I'm not completely against sweet beers. I love the Schafferhofer, but to me, that works. This didn't work in the past. Like Yingling has a pumpkin ale out right now, and I love Yingling, and I hate to say this. Not a fan of it. Not a fan of it all. So what other beers you got in your radar right now, Pirate? My
all-time favorite is Rolling Rock Extra Pale Ale.
Mm-hmm. It was guaranteed legendary. At your parties you had it. And it was in the green bottle, which made it stood out on itself, too. Remember that?
You had the horse on the front.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You got away from that for a while, because even before Bud Light, man, you always had Bud Light in your beer fridge, man.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I'm not against drinking Bud Light. I am not here to protest and petition, because I think the damage has already been done anyway. So to me, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, let's not even get on to Bud Light.
We don't need to. But, no, I'm just bringing up that there was a time because we've been hanging out for a long time, that for the longest time, when I showed up to your party, you had Rolling Rock. I mean, I was excited about it.
You sat on the Rolling Rock cooler to guard it.
Yeah. I didn't want anyone to take it.
Yeah, you were like the Bobcat guard over there.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, you teased me with Rolling Brock, but it was in the can, and I'm like, man, that's not the same.
Yeah, unfortunately, I cannot find it in the bottle. So if anybody knows
where... Oh, you haven't been able to find it in the bottles?
I have not, or else I would have brought it.
Oh, okay. I thought you just bought a couple cans or six-pack.
The hunt continues for Rolling Rock in the bottle, Chewy. Now, we found Banquet in the bottle.
Yeah, well, you found a convenient place for us, because we were driving all the way all over Tarnation to try to find it.
Yeah, the Winn-Dixie carries it locally here, and Publix carries it locally.
Yeah, but that Publix is a weird one to go to. That's what was my point being, because I can't go to the Publix by my house here. They don't have it. They'll have it in cans, which is okay. But something about that Prohibition bottle, man, that thing is awesome. And I feel like Johnny in Cobra Kai, man, because that's what he drank. He wanted a banquet. Or how about in Yellowstone, give me a yellow jacket. Him and Lloyd. I didn't know that was the nickname of that beer, was called a yellow jacket. And of course, they got all messed up in that bar on their way to the train station.
Oh, yeah, remember that?
Yeah, man. But yeah, no, I remember that we were like a couple kids, because you found it and then you called me to come on over. You're like, hey, Chewy, man, I got some Banquet. And I was like, OK, cool. And you didn't tell me you got it in the bottle. And I opened up that beer refrigerator and I'm like, whoa, man, that's a freaking in the glass bottle, man. That's the OG right there. That's a Prohibition bottle, dude.
Hell yeah. Well, and that's
you're bootlegging like your grandpa, right? Out of Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
See, well, there's my word right there. I know it's Arkansas, but I call it Arkansas.
That's what they called it, too.
It was a lazy way to come up with a state. What do you want to call it? Let's call it Arkansas.
Yeah, so the 4.6 Alk is in Rolling Rock, and it's got a good smooth flavor. I like that.
Yeah, I did not realize you couldn't find it in the bottle after all this time. Yeah,
it's the smoothest beer, I think. Even though it's just a regular American beer, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a while, I kicked myself, and I checked myself before I went too far. Years ago, I was getting into a lot of craft beer. I was almost turning into a snob. Like, yeah. I won't drink that Miller Lite shit.
Oh, I think at one point you were a snob, too.
Well, because,
you got to come to
I was loyal to a place here that unfortunately is no longer in business, called Tampa Bay Beer Works.
Oh, I remember the place you went
to. And I missed the hell out of that place, because it really was like a Cheers. Everybody knew your name. We were all cool with each other. Friday or Saturday night, we would do a beer share at this place. Plus, they, on top of that, they had their own craft beer that they made. And there was a huge difference in quality of taste when you compared to a Miller Lite compared to a Coors Light. And I was getting away from that. But then I talked to myself, hold on a second. Stop. These are good beers. And it's okay to drink that. Don't be that bougie craft beer snob, you know? And I checked myself before I got too far. I still hung out with them, but unfortunately the place shut down, you know, which is okay. That's why I became such a fan of Pizza Rock, because I was like, I want a place to hang out on a weekly basis and get to know people. Not that I was looking for friends. My intent was not to go to Pizza Rock to go to friends, but hey, it worked out, you know?
Yeah. And I like the Sam Adams Lager.
One of the best.
The actual, just the plain old blue.
Right. And they were craft beer before it was cool. That's the thing. They are still considered a craft beer company. They are still brewed in Boston. And you can't drive away in your car because you had too much Sam Adams.
Hey, Chewy, go park your car.
Yeah, go park your car by the harbor. get out of here.
and you know, Bud Heavy is a good beer.
I love Bud Heavy. Dude, 5% any
alcohol on that one.
Well, it's not even that, dude. I just like the flavor of it, man. I do enjoy a good Bud Heavy. I wish, remember their old shit from the 90s, the Bud Ice, the Bud Draft?
Bud Dry.
Higher alcohol content.
Yes.
So you would get messed up.
I like some Bud Ice, man.
Yeah, I like Bud Light. I like Bud Dry. And the thing was, the alcohol content was high.
Yeah, 6-something.
Yeah, but it was just like, I feel kind of funny. They stopped making it. It's like, damn it.
You know what another one is? But it's a Canadian beer,
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Molson's.
And you know what? And until we had a friend of ours whose name matched that, I never had a Molson before in my life. And that's actually pretty good beer.
Yeah, I went to Canada and brought back Molson Lager, Molson Ice.
Did you ever try the Molson Gold?
I brought the Molson. I actually
brought a
whole variety pack of Molsons in Canada.
Oh, all the different Molsons.
We hung out at Southview. That particular person whose name rhymes with...
We said Molson X. Molson, boop.
Yes.
You know, because we don't do the name dropping here.
Unless
you know us, you know who the hell we're talking about without giving away names, right?
If you want your name on the show, we've got to have your permission, obviously.
And well, it's a respect thing because we do like to keep it anonymous. To our friends who do listen to the show, it's pretty obvious they know who we are.
If you've got a nickname, we might use it because no one could figure you out.
Yeah, well, and that's what we go by anyways with our union meetings is I barely call you by your real name. You barely call me by my real name, and that's fine.
You have a real name?
Oh, I know. Well, you know all the alternative names. Yeah, but no, beer.
Molson's is a good beer, and we tried that
mm-hmm.
at the house in Southview, and these guys were really thrown away about
man
how good the flavor was.
What a year that was, huh?
Yeah.
1996, dude. It was a frat party, even though none of us were in college. I think I was in college, but no offense to HEC, that doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean, I went there too. Everybody did.
Yeah, just to let people know, we had three friends who rented a home in South Brandon, and it turned into impromptu parties with no planning. And that's how you and I got reacquainted with each other, because we always bumped into each other over the years through high schools and mutual parties. Some of the parties you hosted when your parents were out of town.
Absolutely. Sometimes I just hosted them for the hell of it.
Or yeah. Well, that's when we really connected as friends, and you were the party guy. And I love this place because, I would bring over my Nintendo 64 because our buddy at the time, it doesn't sound like a big deal now, but he had a 36 inch TV. I think it was a Toshiba. And it blew our mind, like, God, look at the size of that TV. But we had mutual friends who worked at Circuit City. So they got things at cost, you know. So it was the Onkyo and the JBL speakers, you name it. And then remember the volleyball? I mean, just playing volleyball.
Yeah, one time I brought a volleyball net over and I said,
we set it up.
There was two pine trees. They were like, how are we going to get this up? I said, tie it to the pine trees.
Right.
We're going to play volleyball. And right. I remember there was no grass left.
We wore that grass out. Yeah. And what blew me away is like nothing like
super crazy happened at these parties. Like no one got punched in the face like some of your parties had happened. Like no one got hurt. No one got arrested.
Yeah, no sheriff showed up.
No sheriffs. And what cracked me up is that they rented a home in what I call just an average Americana neighbor. And we played music loud, but not ridiculous loud. Not once did the neighbors on the right or the left side ever come over and say, hey, guys, can you bring it down a little bit? Like, they just, okay, they're having a party again. And the reason why we call it the Southview House is because I forgot the address. But, yeah, they, you know, that was the party, not even the house. That was the part of the house to go to, which turned into the impromptu parties. You know,
yeah.
You throw an M80 in a recycle bin one time, and that was so freaking loud, man. I was like, that's it. We're gonna get shut down. Well, we're gonna get shut down.
Tree on fire too with the big mortars.
Oh my God! I see, and that's the thing. Some of these parties were a blur, and this is before the digital age. So what I need to do, and you'll love this rabbit hole too, is find these old pictures and scan it. And thing is, you don't have to put them on a scanner bed anymore. Like I got in the next room, you can take your phone and it will figure out that it's a picture and save it to its own file. So I can put several pictures down here and just take a snapshot and it will start building an album up. I would love to see some of these pictures from the Southview parties, dude.
I've never seen any. You'll have to bring some of them out.
I know I have them in a chest somewhere. I have not seen them in, or I can't believe it's almost been 30 years.
Next time let's throw them on a kitchen table.
Well, that's the thing. I can't believe, seriously, we're coming up on 27 years ago this happened, but it honestly feels like it was maybe 5 or 10 years ago. It doesn't feel like it that's long ago.
Time flies, buddy.
And time flies, but at the same time, by looking at these pictures, I'll be able to bring up stuff that I forgot about, and so will you. You know, but that was a great year at that house. My buddy,
it was the party. We had New Year's there. We had July 4th there. We had everything
every Saturday.
Yeah, every
Saturday was like or Friday.
I was there on a Wednesday night.
Oh yeah, we would just, it was ridiculous. And then another friend of ours moved in with him, and he took over the dining room because it was a bunch of bachelors anyway. So the dining room turned into another room. He put some drapes up and everything. And it was just like, just show up. And I remember like the LAN parties with Duke Nukem. They had the two computers set up and we're blowing each other away. And we're like, man, these graphics, man, they're so awesome. And now you look back at them like, yeah, they were okay.
I remember these guys didn't own a barbecue grill.
And tell me this story. I forgot about this.
So I was like, dude, we need a grill at our parties. Screw this. Bringing Taco Bell in all the time.
All right, yeah. Kind of bring your own food. And
little Sleazer's pizza or something.
Right.
I was like, come on, man. We need to grill out some burgers, man.
Yeah.
Some hot dogs, maybe some chicken.
Did you bring your grill?
I just got lucky. I'm driving them down the road in my truck, and all of a sudden I seen some old guy in the neighborhood throwing a grill out. I said, hey, you throwing that out? He goes, yeah. I said, I'm taking it. He goes, okay. I throwed it up in the back of the truck. Mm-hmm. When I got it back, Mr. Molson Beer came out, and I said, hey, Molson Beer, look what I got.
I didn't know this story.
Oh, that thing's
beat. And I know I was there.
And I said, no, don't worry about it, man. So I went down to Ace Hardware, and I found the element part that I needed.
So you replaced the element.
And then I got some high-temperature spray paint, black for barbecues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I even got a little can of the red paint for the wood. And I fixed
it up. Look at you making it all fancy.
Yeah, I fixed it up, and I wheeled it out there, and I went down to the place that had propane tanks and got a tank, and those guys were like, we got a grill. I left it there. Everybody grilled on it. I got a grill for free. Come on, man.
Yeah, man.
A little bit of investment. We were able to grill.
And see, that at those parties is where I got to know you as being the Rolling Rock guy. Because you're cooler. And this is even before you gave me my nickname. This is a couple years prior. So you called me by my real name at the time. Like, hey, man, go help yourself to a Rolling Rock. And I knew, I said, because you were Pirate already back then. And I was like, I knew when Pirate shows up these parties, that fucking cooler is going to have Rolling Rock in it.
Usually when I showed up.
There was no doubt about it.
Usually I said, why isn't this party rocking already?
And yeah.
I got things going. Yeah. It went from a library study hall into an all.
Well, in our defense, because we were always the early guys, and I was always a little earlier than you, we were playing Nintendo 64. So nobody had really showed up yet. So we were enjoying the graphics of 1996 being blown away by this console. And it was that, and that wasn't even a question. They knew when I came over, I was bringing my Nintendo 64 with us, and all of the roommates and all of us equally played. I don't know if you weren't really into video games at the time, but that's what it was. And then of course, when you showed up, it was like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. You know, your sound effects and everything. Whoa, 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 let's go. And then
the stereo up.
So we kept the Nintendo 64 on for anybody to play. And then just remember, people just would just start showing up. And the next thing I know, we'd have 15, 20 people in the house. Not too crazy of numbers, but it was enough where we can go play volleyball. We could barbecue. We can drink beer. And it just, God, what a fun time.
I think we played cards sometimes.
We did. And we were all poor and broke. Yeah. You know, I just moved in with mommy. I got out of the Marine Corps. I just moved in with mommy. You know, people were doing whatever they're doing. Like those guys, they couldn't afford that house together without their friends.
They had to split the rent up.
Right, of course. And then unfortunately only lasted a year, and people moved on and got new roommates and everything. But yeah, that was a great year of beer drinking, because not only did I got introduced to Rolling Rock, I also got, you know, introduced to Sam Adams Oktoberfest. So, you know, yeah, still a fan beers, to this day.
There's other beers that are good out there. Yingling Lager is a good beer.
Oh, that's a great beer. I tell you what, though, the funny thing with Yingling, though, no matter what, I fart.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. With 30 seconds in.
It's a gassy beer, huh?
Yeah, it just makes me fart. And it's not like I don't like it. And then one time I was at USF, because what was formerly known as the Sun Dome is now the Yingling Center. So, of course, they have Yingling on tap. And I walk up to grab something to eat. I think I was there for a basketball game or something, and I saw Yingling Gold. I'm like,
Oh, that's good beer.
It is. But I was like, I wonder. So I asked for a cup. I paid for it, of course. I got Yingling Gold. I take a sip. 30 seconds later,
let the music begin.
Yeah.
So, that's a good beer, too.
Dude, it's Americana beer. And it's made locally here and Pennsylvania. It's the only two breweries in America, the oldest brewery in America, by the way.
Yeah, I like that beer. Pirate likes maybe mainly American beers. You know, there's a few imported beers that I would drink.
What about Keating?
I drink that. When we go to the Ching barbecue place.
Keating is.
We drink.
Yeah. I mean, again, I have to translate, because most of the people here call it Kirin. It's really pronounced Keating. Keating is basically the Budweiser of Japan. Yes, it is their number one, and it's a lager.
It's a lager, and it's good flavor.
It's a damn good beer.
Yeah.
Damn good beer.
And it's almost kind of like, I like Modelo.
It is. It is.
Yellow is the lager and the negra.
Well, the next get together, especially since we get this pending Halloween party, I haven't brought over a Keating in a while. I think I'm going to bring over some Keating, man.
Bring over a six of Kareen.
Yeah, man. Can you say it? Keating.
Keating. Kareen.
There you go.
Whatever.
Or Kieran. Kieran.
Karen.
Well, being part Japanese, you know, I can't help it. I laugh. I'm not like a stickler to it, but whenever I hear the American version, it cracks me up. Like, Sapporo, it just makes me laugh, dude, because it's not Sapporo, it's Sapporo.
You got one of them there, Sapporo.
See, even that's better, though. Even what you said there, even with the country accent, that's even better, because we go to the Ching Wong place, Kobe's, and there's nothing wrong with this. Mostly Vietnamese work there, and that's okay, but they're American, too. They're as white as you and me. Yeah. And this one guy was like, oh, you want a Sapporo? And I remember I corrected him. I was like, yeah, I'll take a Sapporo. And he looked at me like I was some kind of asshole because I corrected him how to say it. And what's nice at Kobe is it comes in a 24-ounce bottle.
Nice.
Yeah, there ain't no 12 ounces there for a Sapporo.
Yeah.
Not Sapporo.
Yeah, they gave you the living out on the streets tall boy.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, I've
learned to adopt some of these Americanized version of words. Like when I was in Japan and I went to my sergeant's house, we had to go pick something up. And I noticed he had this big old roll in the corner there. I was like, what's going on there? He goes, oh, that's my futon. And I started laughing and he goes, what's so funny? And I was like, cause you called it a futon. And he goes, well, what do you call it? And I was like, my whole life, cause I knew how to pronounce it proper. It's ftong. So when I hear it say ftong and he calls it a futon, I just laugh.
What the hell? I never knew it was pronounced ftong.
Yeah. Yeah. See, hey, here you go. You got drunken after show. So next time, you know, because I still have one in my house. I don't have a futon. It's a ftong.
I didn't even know that was Ching. Dude.
What you learn, right?
I thought it was Scandinavian or something.
No, dude. That's freaking Japanese, man. I thought
the IKEA people in there.
No, man. They're Swedish, man. They got meatballs.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of different beers that are good out there. And
It's endless. And I tell you, it is a, you know, pending I got away from the craft beer snobbery, and I'll still drink craft beer. I have a few in the fridge now. But it's a great time to be a beer drinker because there's so many options out there, man. It's almost endless.
How about when we drink Killian's?
Yeah, man. I love a good Killian's Red, man. That's good beer. I like a good red beer. You know,
when we hit O'Toole's, that's what I'm ordering.
Yeah, man. Well, we haven't actually picked O'Toole's in a while, man. You know, or O'Brien's. It's a couple restaurants we haven't visited in a while, especially at O'Brien's. And someone in here needs to use a bathroom. Yeah. Remember that one?
Yeah.
A friend of ours popped his colostomy bag. Oh, God.
Yeah, he definitely popped it. And them two girls, they just really...
He was entertaining.
He got a whiff of it.
He definitely was entertaining, man.
That boy in Hooters.
Oh, my God. Who did that? Who did that? He all bowed up, man. Kick your ass, man. And he didn't notice the table.
Baby Huey.
Yeah, he didn't notice the table in front of us. We're laughing our asses off at him. He had no idea,
he
was, man.
He couldn't read the room.
Well, he was so... I think he was a little drunk himself.
Yeah.
So he didn't notice the table of guys in front of them laughing their asses off because we know who did it. But hey, you have even last night at Hooters, man. I had a couple of Sam Adams Oktoberfest on draft, as our fun buddy would say. I had
some Miller Lights. That's the...
You had Coors Light.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you double bottled it. You're so thirsty.
Yeah, double bottle, double fisted.
But I had two, what were those? You think 32-ounce mugs, those things were easily? Big, yeah, two 32-ounce mugs, man. They
old blokes.
On draft, as our mutual friend would say, God, they were going down so smooth, man.
Oh, yeah.
They were. So, yeah, great time to be a beer drinker, man.
Yeah, there's plenty of beers out there. And then there's a lot of craft beers, which we could get into that on another show, but...
Man, I got a craft beer I can bring up here locally, but we'll save that for another time, man.
Yeah, there is just so many beers out there, and those are just some of the ones we like. And the reason we like them is just that's our taste. And they work great with all types of different foods and different types of
moods. And it makes it even more comfortable with a nice cold beer when you're sitting on your phone. I am blowing you away with that. You had no idea that's how you pronounced it. All these years, it was a futon, right?
I can't even pronounce that.
It's a futon.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's ftong.
Yeah. Well,
man, if you could only see the look on Pirate's face right here, he's like, what the hell? I'm
not liking that.
Damn,
man.
Ching Wong. Man, your buddy is a Ching Wong, man. So I'm going to give you some culturally.
All of these. You know, abbreviations that folks do nowadays.
Well, that ain't no abbreviation. That's how you say it, man. It ain't no futon, man. It's ftong. The
way words are pronounced. It's just, you know, it's
you know futon. How they say it in Japan with beer? Biru.
Biru.
So at least it sounds close. Biru.
Biru.
Yeah. Biru kudasai.
This is...
Kirin no Sapporo no biru onegai shimasu.
Learning Japanese with Chewy.
Yeah, no, we can't do that because I lost a lot of it. It's more or less just being an asshole and they don't have cuss words in Japanese, by the way. They don't. So anytime you see an anime and you see the F-bomb, doesn't exist. It's bullshit. Though the worst word they do have is shit or maybe damn it, which can be equally about the same, but that's ksu.
Yeah.
That's or if you want to slow it down, kuso. And then you just speed it up a little bit. It's ksa.
That's pretty cool that they're like that.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like a shit in German, Scheiße.
I mean, they're a respectable society, I guess, you know?
Well, I mean, like, not everyone has the same words.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's equivalence, but a couple times I've seen some animes when I used to watch that, and they'd put the F-bomb translation at the bottom. I'm like, there's no F-bomb in Japanese. No.
Well, and English has a lot of descriptive
words. We do. I understand now, knowing a foreign language, how difficult it is for a foreigner to learn English, because all our slang, all our off-putting words, I mean, think about it literally. Man, that's really cool. Okay, well, if you just learn English, you'd be like, well, I don't understand what's cold, you know?
Yeah, they think it's cold.
It doesn't make any sense to them. Or
getting colder.
Or you'd see something, oh, man, that's badass. And I'm like, What does badass mean? I understand ass, which is a donkey.
Talk about his buttocks or bad? Why would you be looking at him?
Right. So luckily for you and me, growing up in this country, we understand. And you know what? There's still words that I'm learning. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I learned the kids are using these days. They use the word sus, and I had no idea what that means.
S-U-S?
S-U-S.
What the living hell is
that? I've heard your son say it.
What?
So I Googled it instead of asking him. It's a short term for saying somebody's suspect.
What the living hell? That's too complicated.
Well, no, but I'm educating you. So next time you hear somebody say, yeah, man, so-and-so sus, now you'll know what it is.
Damn, Chewy, you're learning some new words. You just learned what slides were today. I learned what futon is.
Futon.
Yeah, and then we just learned what sus is. And it is an abbreviation word that I
hate. Of suspect.
I can't stand.
Oh, you don't like suspect?
No, I just can't stand.
But when someone, but when someone's shady, they're sus. The kids are using it. Your daughter used it too. I had to look it up. I didn't even want to ask them because I would sound like the old idiot. You know, hey, I'm kind of cool and hip.
Sounds like you're afraid to call the person out.
No, it's not about afraid to call them out. I was wondering what they were saying, and then when I watched more TV, I was hearing the younger generation use these terms, and I'm like, what is sus? And then I finally looked it up. I'm like, oh, suspect. Okay. All right. Cool.
So you're saying they're trying to say the word suspect, but they're just too lazy to say the whole word?
Well, like anything's an abbreviation, man.
Everything's beginning to be.
Well, everything's turning into an acronym.
Why?
Well, it's lazy speak.
Lazy speak.
But think about it. We've been using words for a long time. You don't realize it. And I don't ask me because I don't even want to Google it. Laser is an acronym.
Oh, yeah?
The word, the laser. Pew, pew, pew. Laser, Star Wars, Star Trek, all that shit.
Yeah.
Laser is an acronym. I know the R in laser is radiation.
All right.
But it's like light aptitude something something radiation.
Well, I know the word microphone and mic is a acronym.
And we use mic all the time.
TV and television.
There you go. See, so we use acronyms, but it just doesn't annoy you like these other words.
Some old geezer years ago, I don't like when them boys use that word mic.
Maybe, maybe. I mean, think about our modern day TVs when HDTV became a thing, and that was a big marketing thing. You didn't call it TV anymore. It became HDTV because it did stand out.
Again, HD, it's high definition.
There you go. But you have to admit, when HDTV came out and the first time you saw one at a Sears or a Best Buy, you were like, wow.
Or a Montgomery Ward.
Or a Montgomery Ward's back in the day. It's like, wow, that's clear, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. First time I saw HDTV was in Japan in 1992, before it came to the States. And I remember I walked into this electronics store, and I kind of just, okay, that's a nice-looking picture. And then I stopped, and I paused, and I looked over at it. And I'm like, whoa, wow, that is clear. And then a salesman came up to me, and he knew a little bit of English, but I immediately switched into Japanese, and I was telling him, what is that? He goes, oh, so do I, HDTV desu. And I was like, and I asked him, what is HDTV? High definition. And I was like, oh, high definition. Okay. I was like, man, that looks nice. And I was like, ikura, how much? Ikura. And it was something ridiculous, like something like 50,000 yen, which was at the time like $5,000. And of course, I'm just a poor Marine. Jeez. You know, I was almost thinking, man, I'll take this back to the barracks, man. Everyone will like me. But, and it turned out that was a good thing to not purchase it, even if I did have the money, because they're on a different TV transmission in Japan. So had I brought that back to the States, it wouldn't have worked.
That'd have been useless, man.
It would have been useless. Well, you'd have to buy some converter box, so you'd have to spend another couple $100 to convert it.
Electrical plugs are different as well.
No, most of them are 110.
They're the same.
They're similar to us, but like Europe
is the one. You gotta have that.
Well, Europe has Europe still has a lot of 220, wow. Which is crazy.
It's a lot of volts.
Yeah, just to run a lamp, you got 220 for a lamp.
Surprised they don't have a lot of explosions.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Well, that's where America's becoming more. We led in efficiency. And hey, you don't need 220 volts to be running all this crap. I mean, don't get me wrong. Our appliances, our range, our dryer, sure. My well, but for the most common stuff, 110. You know, where a lot of Europe, they're still on 220, which is nuts. Talk about, hey, what happened to saving the planet and all that crap? You're sucking in more power to run your hair dryer. I'm doing it half the time here with my power. So
well, actually, there's been a lot of misinformation on all that Save the Planet, and that's another story. I know.
Well, we were talking beer and veering off anyway. So,
well, we're enjoying the Schaffenhofer. I had
Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Enjoying the Oktoberfest.
Of course,
normally I have some Miller Lights or Coors Lights or Banquets here.
Yeah.
That's what we're enjoying. And we do switch up with some Rolling Rocks and some other Modelos and other beers like that.
From Negra.
The Negra, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My favorite Modelo.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If I have the choice between the two, I go for the Negra every time.
Yeah, it's good dark beer.
Yes. Yeah.
Good flavor.
Of course, if a snowflake heard that, that's racist. No, that means black in Spanish, dipshit.
Oh, that's what they call it. That's what Modelo calls
that's
it.
What that's what it
their,
is.
They're
but black Negra bottom. Is black in Spanish. Fuck
yeah.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to hear about your selective racism again.
Well, educate yourself on beer, and maybe you would know.
And you have the Google right here. Go look it up before you go attacking somebody. Yeah, you said the N-word. No, I didn't.
Educate yourself on beer.
And on record, I hate the N-word. I can't stand it, but that's a personal choice of mine, and I don't use it. You know, whatever. So, anyways, we're talking beer. We're going to finish it up on beer.
I think we're about wrapped up on beer. I mean, I don't think you have any other beers to talk about now.
Not for now, until we try another beer later on. But, yeah, we're rapidly approaching a two-hour show. But the after show is our impromptu thing anyways. I mean, heck, we started this half an hour ago, so we've been talking about beer for this long.
2 hours, too. I get a lot of people that speak out, and they say
it's too long.
Yeah, pirate. It's a podcast. It shouldn't be that long. Well, here's the thing: who made the rule that says podcasts should be any amount of minutes?
And you're right. And we talked about this before. And I'm part of me still stuck on the time thing a little bit, but I'm. Learning to let it, I'm learning to let it go because look at it this way. I know we're not Joe Rogan. However, he does 3 hour shows.
He does.
Okay. So we're coming in under 2 hours with no sponsorship. We're just two buddies that bought some equipment that love to talk. Obviously that's what podcasts are about and we can do it over some beers and it's safe.
Well, and I think too, that if we had to compress a lot of this stuff, you would miss some things. The show would be a little bit vanilla.
You're right, and with a little bit of editing, nothing too crazy. This is about as raw as it gets between you and me.
Yeah, and if we had to compress it because of time constraints, I think some things would get missed, or we'd have to take out some of the actual rhetoric or joking.
Yeah, and I don't edit any of that out. Other than the pauses, folks, you're getting the real show between us. I mean, I have pauses where I say, okay, let's take a break. Okay, I edit that out. You guys don't want to hear that. You don't need to hear that. But for the most part, this is as raw as it gets.
And you're right. And this show is all over the road. So it's an informational.
All over the road.
It's more like an informational.
Well, it's two buddies that love to talk.
Yeah, it's an informational talk show.
And we're putting it out on the internet. Own radio show.
We don't have one genre of things that we talk about. We do talk about social stuff.
Yeah.
Politics, news. Talk about Florida stories.
And we have verbally a couple of our friends asked us to talk about something, but I still haven't seen an email yet for suggestions. So please, if you want to hear us talk about something, you know the email address. I'll say it again, akaboradio@gmail.com. You know, shoot us an email. Or if you know us, tell us. We would love to talk about it. But yeah, today's after show is completely
impromptu. And then we are coming up. Pyre and I have already talked about this, and it's another teaser. We're going to have a show where we're completely improv.
Like right now.
That's exactly what this after show has been. This after show, other than let's talk about good beer that we like. That was it. The last half an hour has been us opining on the beer that we like.
But we're going to do a whole show.
We're going to do an entire show improv.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people say, oh, it's not funny or it's not this, but hey, the show evolves. Give it some time. It'll grow on
you. The show's the show.
Yeah. It'll
when you watch TV, you don't particularly like every episode you watch of your favorite TV show. You know, sometimes you're not feeling it, and that's just your opinion. That's fine.
But give it some time. It'll grow on you.
But I can tell you so far, with 8 shows we have done together, I've enjoyed doing every single show. It's been a blast, Chewy, man. I really have. It's been a lot of fun, man. I'm enjoying that. You and I are just talking across the table here, drinking some beers, just like what we do best.
Yeah, it's been a blast so far. I look forward to it. And hey, we're going to do a bye week, so you guys can, you know, get a break from us for a week.
And then we'll be back.
And we'll be back.
I'll definitely fill you in on the West Virginia trip and everything else that we know is going to happen here in the next 2 weeks.
All right, this is Pirate. I'm out. Keep on smiling, y'all.
This is Chewy. I'm out. See y'all later. Take care.